She felt, thought, gripped, twisted. There was a click. Ow! Now, try it above the shoulder. Yes, it does seem considerably more free. Yes, indeed, my word, yes. Thank you very much. If it gives you trouble again, you know where I live. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know where everyone lives. Tuesday mornings is a good time. I'm generally in.
I shall remember. Thank you.
By appointment in your case. No offence meant.
Thank you.
Death walked away. A moment later, there was a faint gasp from the cow. That and a slight sagging of the skin were all that apparently marked the transition from living animal to cooling meat. Granny picked up the baby and laid a hand on its forehead.
Fever's gone, she said.
Mistress Weatherwax, said Death from the doorway.
Yes, sir.
I have to know, what would have happened if I had not lost?
At the cards, you mean?
Yes, what would you have done?
Granny laid the baby down carefully on the straw and smiled.
Well, she said, for a start, I'd have broken your bloody arm.
Agnes stayed up late, simply because of the novelty. Most people in Lancre, as the saying goes, went to bed with the chickens and got up with the cows. That is to say, they went to bed at the same time as the chickens went to bed and got up at the same time as the cows got up. Loosely worded sayings can really cause misunderstandings. But she watched the evening's performance and watched the set being struck afterwards and watched the actors leave, or in the case of the younger chorus members, head off for their lodgings in odd corners of the building. And then there was no one else, except Walter Plinge and his mother, sweeping up. She headed for the staircase. There didn't seem to be a candle anywhere back here, but the few left burning in the auditorium were just enough to give the darkness a few shades. The stairs went up the wall at the rear of the stage, with nothing but a rickety handrail between them and the drop. Besides leading to the attics and the storeroom on the upper floors, they were also one route to the fly loft and the other secret platforms where men in flat hats and grey overalls worked the magic of the theatre, usually by means of pulleys. There was a figure on one of the gantries over the stage. Agnes saw it only because it moved slightly. It was kneeling down, looking at something, in the darkness. She stepped back. The stair creaked. The figure jerked round. A square of yellow light opened in the darkness, its beam pinning her against the brickwork.
"Who's there?" she said, raising a hand to shade her eyes.
"Who's that?" said a voice. And then, after a moment, "Oh, it's Perdita, isn't it?" The square of light swung towards her as the figure made its way over the stage.
"André," she said.
She felt inclined to back away, if only the brickwork would let her. And suddenly he was on the stairs, quite an ordinary person, no shadow at all, holding a very large lantern.
"What are you doing here?" said the organist.
"I was just going to bed."
"Oh, yes." He relaxed a little. "Some of you girls have got rooms here. The management thought it was safer than having you going home alone late at night."
"What are you doing up here?" said Agnes, suddenly aware that there were just the two of them.
"I was looking at the place where the ghost tried to strangle Mr. Cripps," said André.
"Why?"
"I wanted to make certain everything was safe now, of course."
"Didn't the stagehands do that?"
"Oh, you know them. I just thought I'd better make certain."
Agnes looked down at the lantern.
"I've never seen one like that before. How did you make it light up so quickly?"
It's a dark lantern. There's this flap, you see," he demonstrated, "so you can just shut it right down and open it up again."
"That must be very useful when you're looking for the black notes."
"Don't be sarcastic. I just don't want there to be any more trouble. You'll find that you start looking around. Good night, André."
"Good night, then." She hurried up the rest of the flights and ducked into her bedroom. No one followed her. When she'd calmed down, which took some time, she undressed in the voluminous tent of her red flannel nightdress and got into bed, resisting any temptation to pull the covers over her head. She stared at the dark ceiling. "That's stupid," she thought eventually. "He was on the stage this morning. No one could move that fast." She never knew whether she actually got some sleep or whether it just happened as she was dozing off, but there was a very faint knock at the door.
"Perdita!"
Only one person she knew could exclaim a whisper. Agnes got up and padded over to the door. She opened the door a fraction just to check, and Christine half fell into the room. "What's the matter?"
"I'm frightened."
"What of?"
The mirror!
It's talking to me! Can I sleep in your room?